meeting is now called to order, and I want to thank everybody that's here. Appreciate you coming out on such a cold, bitter winter day, and it looks like this weekend might even look like what our northern friends have to put up with. We shall see. But it scares our South Carolinians to death, doesn't it? But anyway, hopefully we'll see a little bit of snow and no ice. It'll be great. I want to welcome our new members, Nancy Nicholson, Laura Milam, and Terry Plum. Welcome aboard, you guys.
Thank you.
Looking forward to working with each one of you. Approval of previous meeting minutes.
Mr. Chair, I move we approve the minutes as stated.
Okay, we've got a motion on the floor. Have a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion?
Yeah, there's one error in there. It relates to percentage of increase in uses of physical materials. It says it's 77% increase. And I don't know if you did the math on it, Julie, but it's a lot less than that.
Yeah.
Is that in the minutes?
Yeah, it is. It's the first page next to the last.
Oh,
it's closer
okay.
to 7 what we were looking at.
So oh, yeah.
Okay. What should the number be?
I don't know. It's less than 1%. I mean, less than 10%.
Tim and I were thinking it's probably 7.
Yeah.
But we'll double check that
now.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll just circle that.
Which is a significant increase.
Yeah.
77%.
Slightly.
Okay. Well, with that being looked into, and we can discuss that further at the next meeting, we will proceed with the minutes other than that one exception. Any other discussion? Okay. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye. Sorry.
Opposed? Unanimous. Okay. And Carol, thank you for your work with those minutes. Time and effort. That's okay.
Don't let me handle it.
We'll deal with it. Election of board vice chair. Do we have any nominations from the floor?
Mr. Chair, I move to nominate Nancy Nicholson as vice chair.
Okay, we have Nancy Nicholson nominated. Are there any others?
I'll nominate myself.
All right. So therefore, I guess we need to have a way of tallying those votes. Do we need a second? Okay. All right. So you moved. Do we need a second on any of this?
Technically, yes. So that didn't count.
Okay. So I need a second for this to be technically through Robert's rules.
Is that for Nancy?
For both.
For both motions. I'll second.
Okay. All right, so I guess the way we proceed with this, all in favor of Nancy being the vice chair, raise your hand. And all in favor of Mr. Plum being vice chair.
I withdraw my motion.
Okay.
Make it unanimous.
Okay, we got a unanimous vote. All right, thank you all. Reports. Is our director ready for reports?
We are. If you have any questions with regard to the statistics, the November numbers were updated, so you would have those too. We are spinning along. I think the only comments I would make is they're not completely up to date because the Clover manager has been out on leave, so we have, and we will need to go back and up those numbers. We don't have those currently because she's on leave. And the virtual library statistics, if you'll notice that it's not December, that's because they're always behind. There's nothing of alarm one way or the other to note.
Thank you.
recommend, these are all of these that still need to have the Clover statistics included for all of these.
In specific, the outside usage of meeting rooms, the staff training stats, and then all the program statistics for all age groups.
Those are the ones. You said outside usage.
Of meeting rooms, the staff training stats that also include the 1-to-1 patron training statistics.
Okay, and that is training staff attendance.
Yes.
Correct, okay, and the other one?
And then finally, the program statistics for all age groups. We didn't get that one. And if it helps, I can email you that.
Yeah, that would be good.
Would you like me to?
I just wanted to make sure I have it in minutes.
Sure.
Okay.
Julie, I have a request.
Yes.
I've been looking at these things for a long time, and I never know which ones be considered most important. What are the measurements that you would say would be most important to staff?
So this is mostly driven by, because there's still some stuff in here we do for ourselves, but this is primarily driven by the statistics that are collected by the state library annually.
Okay.
So they report this to, oh, I'm drawing a blank on the organization, give me a second. You know.
IMLS?
IMLS.
IMLS.
Yeah, the Institute of Museum and Library.
Okay.
Services.
Services, thank you. That gets reported up to them.
Okay.
So most of this is captured, and I would say just looking at Facebook likes is something we follow, we do for ourselves. Facebook followers are what we do for ourselves. And Instagram, we're curious about our social media.
Okay.
Julie, I have a question, probably should have asked at the November meeting. On the program's outreach attendance for October, why is it 3,075?
So there, you know, and I don't have those notes as to which program it was, but it was a giant program.
Okay, so.
With a couple thousand people.
So it's a right.
Yeah.
Okay. Should have asked a couple months ago.
I feel like, was that October, was October or September, our patchwork?
That was September.
It was September. So it was another, like, fall festival thing. So that is they. If you don't have other questions, I just want to add two more things, totally separate outside of statistics. One, I just wanted to let you know that later you're going to talk about our computer and internet usage policy. We're bringing that up here because we need to include that in a technology plan that we need to submit to the state library in March. The technology plan comes around every couple of years. So we've just completed one, and we are going into 2025 to 2028. The state library needs those technology plans so that we are certified to receive E-rate. And E-rate is the federally funded, the FCC uses funds to give discounts to libraries and schools for their technology. So telecommunications, interconnections, internet, those grants come through that facility, and they can provide up to 80% of funding for, say, for example, firewalls or hotspots or any type of thing like that. So that's where that technology plan comes in and why we're going to submit it. And we like to, this year, or this plan, we're just going to do things that we're getting, we have bought a mobile app, or we have funded a mobile app, and that will be for our patrons to use just like they use any other app, except for our own programs and services. That's going to be one thing on the technology plan, excuse me. They will also get event notifications, program notifications, they'll be able to use the catalog, they'll be able to do self-checkout when they're in the library. So we're very excited about that. It's a 24/7 access to all of our online resources, putting books on hold, and patrons are all quite familiar with apps at this point. Something that won't be seen but will be appreciated on the technology plan is adding 6 Wi-Fi access boxes at Rock Hill, and that will, there's some spotty areas in that big building, and so that will cover areas where it is spotty for patrons and staff, and in addition to programs and presenters who use the Wi-Fi. And finally, we're going to beef up our security cameras. We need some more. There are blind spots that we are missing visuals on at our branches, both internally or inside and outside. And so to do that, we're gonna have a couple year plan because they're kind of expensive to add. In addition, some of the cameras we already have, well, they're getting elderly. And so we'd like to replace them over the next 3 years as well. That also, with new ones and new technology being maybe a higher use level or a higher piggy level, we'll probably have to upgrade our server on top of that to, you know, sustain all the additional cameras and the video footage storage. So those are the big three that we're going to work on in the next 3 years of upgrading and adding to our technology. And finally, I want to let you know that we are going to close the libraries because of the weather tomorrow, midday, and go through Saturday because we've been watching the weather, Martin and I, and we just can't, you know, with all the ice that might fall, it'll just be kind of dangerous, so, especially our people who live out in New York and Clover and in the country, so just to let you know.
So that's countywide, all the libraries
it
will
isn't.
Be closed?
It isn't. It's a library decision.
No. I mean, it will include all of the libraries.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, it will.
So you said all the libraries will close Friday and Saturday, or half day?
Friday at noon. Yeah,
we'll close
all
Friday
day
Saturday.
Okay.
Hopefully reopen Monday.
Yes, we plan to. Hopefully this will be blown through. And finally, we would like, Wyson Library usually gives gifts to staff. It's usually a piece of clothing at the end of the year. And we would like to hand out these hats with our logo to all of our board members. Happy New Year.
Wear it tomorrow.
Happy New Year.
We're going to need this tomorrow.
Thank you.
I need it right now.
Happy New Year.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Thank you. They're nice and warm.
Very nice.
Thank you, Julie. Any other questions, concerns, thoughts? Julie? Okay. Hearing none, let's move on to the treasurer report, which is this.
Okay. So in your packet, you should have 2 months worth of financials. So there's the month ending November 30th and the month ending December 31st. Now remember, we are not on a fiscal calendar year, so this is not our year end. This is just the middle of our year, more or less. So it's not like we're gonna be talking about a year-end kind of wrap up here. So these 2 months basically are just our run-of-the-mill months. What I usually discuss is anything that we have a significant variance of. And I'm gonna take November 1st and talk about three items. And number one item up on the revenue side, and number second is the state aid appropriations. We haven't received what we expected, but that is coming in January. So that's a quarterly kind of thing that hits us. And so it will bounce up. There's no doubt that we will receive our annual allotment there of $700,000 something. Going down to expenditures, we've got three items to talk about. And basically all of these are what I call timing, where we may have just lump payments a few months of the year, and yet the budget is kind of divided by 12, so that in a given month we may be up and down. The key always is to make sure that when we look at our year to date, that we haven't exceeded the total approved budget. Now we'll get more toward that around the, you know, maybe March or April when we start nearing the end of the year. So right now we usually are pretty safe, but that's always just something to keep in your mind to say, okay, we know we can't exceed our annual, and where are we up until then? And as long as we're under it, understanding that this isn't an exact science in terms of the budgeting is not tried to guess every month. It's just basically, as I said, monthly. So specifically, if you look at periodicals, you'll see that it looks like we are overspent in periodicals, which is 1, 2, 3, 4th down. And, but if you look at our total year, you can see we haven't spent the total year, and again, that was just a, how we make the payments. Number down, pretty much down near the bottom, we end up program and services and grants and donations. Just a little bit of a difference there. It's really not, I don't really like to talk about anything that isn't 10% or more. And then underneath that, down a couple more is staff development and travel. You'll see we got 11%. Here again, well underneath our annual number, and just a question of the timing of those months when that took place. So in summary, for the month of November, we are under control. Cool. If we look at December, we can then make the analysis up in revenues. Basically the same comments hold for the state aid appropriation, which again didn't hit in December but is hitting in January. So that number will come back. And we look at expenses. We see now that periodicals are becoming more in line. We still are over, but again, in control. And the other two programs we discussed are now under the 10%, so there's no discussion necessary. So that all evens out. So that is my summary of our budget expenditures for the last 2 months, Mr. Chair.
Very good.
And that's my report.
Thank you, Dennis. Are there any questions? All right. Well, we'll go on to unfinished business. Does anyone have any unfinished? Oh,
pardon me. You skipped standing committees.
Yes, I did. I'm sorry. See, standing committees. Policy committee.
The policy committee right now, we have the addition of Nancy this month, so welcome Nancy to our committee. And we are in the process of continuing to work on the collection policy with the goal of having a draft of that available for the next meeting.
Great. And then strategic committee is just being formed, so there's no nothing on that.
Why don't you announce the members?
I'm going to discuss that under new business,
okay,
officially.
Go right ahead there.
But unfinished business, is there any that anyone knows of?
I'd like to ask a question. I can't remember the exact time. Diane Ingersoll, who's president of Friends, would probably know. But last year, the Friends gave $23,000 to the library for the purchase of a vehicle. We bought the vehicle, and then the hailstorm came and destroyed it. Mm-hmm. So it was totaled, and the insurance check went to the county. I'd like to know the status of the vehicle that the Friends paid for, and when that the library can expect to receive it.
So the check came to us.
Right.
And we worked through county after some back and forth of who was supposed to help us. And not in a bad way, just I was talking to one person I thought I was supposed to be talking to, and it turned out I was supposed to be talking to somebody else. And we actually have a vehicle identified, and they're going to purchase it, if not next week, the week after.
And it meets the requirements that you were looking for?
It does. Yep. It's the same it's the same Chevy Traverse.
Very good.
That y'all bought.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. I was going to tell you that at the Friends meeting on Monday.
Well, I'm the
one
on that committee.
Oh, you're not on your friend.
Kick me off.
Darn it. That's
no,
right.
My time ran out.
Okay. New business. Review committee appointments. Back on December 20th, I sent out an email appointing the different policy committees, strategic committee people, but probably three of you weren't even signed up on the library email system, so we'll go back over that very quickly. Policy committee, Dennis is chair, Susan Pining and Nancy Nicholson is on the policy committee. Strategic committee, Carol Herring is chair, Laura Milam and Terry Plum. Okay. Amendment to bylaws. I'm going to make a motion here, and if I get a second, then we can discuss it if anybody wants to discuss it. I move to change the bylaws in Article 4, Section 5, public comment to read as follows. The board may allow public comment at the beginning of the meeting for people that want to address the board regarding items that are on the meeting's agenda. If allowed, the board will listen and not respond. The speaker shall have a 2-minute time limit. The board will hear no more than 2 speakers that are for and 2 opposed to any agenda item. There will be a maximum of 4 speakers at any board meeting. Those wishing to speak should sign the sheet with all required information. This will be provided by a secretary on a table at the entrance to the meeting room. Persons wishing to address the board regarding other library items should contact the library director not less than a week before the meeting with the topic for approval. They will have a 2-minute time limit. The person will be notified if approval was granted 48 hours before the meeting. Okay, do I have a second on that motion?
I'll second it.
Okay, discussion. Well, basically, just let me say that the only main verbiage difference here is we went from 5 minutes down to 2 minutes.
I'd like to suggest you amend it to have no problem with the 2 minutes. People can discuss a lot in 2 minutes if they're organized. And having people ramble on for 5 minutes, I think, is a waste of time and it extends the meeting. But since we're reducing by 80% the amount of total time the public could speak, I would like to see us be more generous with the number of people who can speak. In other words, if we're now at 4, I would raise it to 8. They're only going to be 2 minutes. They're not going to add any time to the meeting. And that number is, of course, debatable. But I do think that hearing more people is better. And they'll have to be to the point. And if they go over 2 minutes, I think we ought to use the gavel and shut them off. But because we have to respect the efficiency of this meeting. But I do think we want more input and want to encourage more public opinion rather than discourage it.
Okay, are you making a motion?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion that we limit the only change in your amendment would be to make it hearing 4 people on either side of the topic rather than 2.
Okay, so to amend the motion, there has to be a second. Is there a second?
I'm going to second it.
Okay. All right, well, we need to vote.
I'd like to make another motion, another amendment.
Wait a minute. Well, how many amendments can we have?
Infinite number. But,
okay.
But I would just like to have make an amendment that we, rather than 2 and rather than 4, that we look at 3. So that would give us 6 speakers per topic maximum.
I'll go on with that.
Okay, so we would have a total of 6 speakers, 2 minutes per.
3, 3, and 3.
I
do have one question, and this is not part of the amendment, but part of the discussion. The either or bothers me, that we're saying, okay, you can say either for or against something, but a lot of times people are sort of in the middle. I mean, they want to express a thought that might not necessarily say I'm totally against this or totally for it. Why do we have that division? And if say 3 people sign up to speak for an amendment and nobody wants to speak against it, do we add more people so we get back to a total of 6?
No, not per bylaws. You got, and if we go with the amendment that Dennis just said, it will be 3 for and 3 opposed.
Okay.
But what you're saying, Terry, is that that would stay, but what you're saying is some of those either for or against could be neutral.
Right.
Is what you're saying. But my observation is usually people don't come up to give us a neutral opinion.
Okay.
They're coming up here to give us a for or against.
They're
opinion.
Passionate about it. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So
fair enough.
I don't think that'll really happen.
So the amendment is amended would be to change the number of people to speak on the issue to 3 for, 3 against.
Okay.
As opposed to the 2 that you had was in original change.
So is that considered a new motion?
Well, if we're gonna go with that, then you need to rescind your original motion.
I will rescind my original motion.
Okay, so now we're back to Dennis's.
The amendment.
Amendment to change it from two people to three people, three people for and three people against or opposed, maximum per meeting. Is that what we're saying?
Correct.
For a total of six.
And have you had a second on that amendment? I'll second Dennis's amendment.
I second it. I second.
You seconded it?
I do.
Okay, Nancy already seconded it. Okay, well, let's vote on the motion. So the motion reads this way. If allowed, the board will listen, because any, per Robert's rules, before we vote, I'm supposed to repeat the motion every time. And that hadn't been done in the past, but we're gonna start doing that. So you might have to hear me talk when you want to, but that's just the way the Robert's rules are. Okay, so the motion as amended is on the floor in this way. If allowed, the board will listen and not respond. Well, we'll back up. The board may allow public comment and at the beginning of the meeting for people that want to address the board regarding items that are on the meeting's agenda. If allowed, the board will listen and not respond. The speaker shall have a 2-minute time limit. The board will hear no more than three speakers that are for and three opposed to any agenda item. There will be a maximum of six speakers at any board meeting. Those wishing to speak should sign the sheet with all required information. This will be provided by the secretary on a table at the entrance to the meeting room. Persons wishing to address the board regarding other library items should contact the library director not less than a week before the meeting with the topic for approval. They will have a 2-minute time limit. The person will be notified if approval was granted 48 hours before the meeting. All in favor, raise your hand. All opposed, we have no opposition.
Mr. Chairman, I see a potential issue in that we recognize in the final paragraph that people may address the board regarding other items, and it says library items. I would think it'd be better items that are not on the agenda, not an agenda item. I mean, you don't want to encourage people to get there and give their theory on climate change. But if we recognize the fact that people may address the board on other library items, the statement in the previous paragraph will say there will be no more than a maximum of four speakers at any board meeting. The two are mutually exclusive. In other words, if we adopt the paragraph, the next to that paragraph, there will never be a time that someone could address another issue with us without violating the bylaws. Does that make sense?
I think what they, but it says that the board will hear no more than three speakers that are four and three. It will hear no more. It doesn't necessarily, it has to be three. If you have someone that wants to come in with another item, can they take the place of one of those six and then cut back on the number for and against, you know, for and against?
Yeah, Terry, today would be an example. Nobody's really speaking on the items, but yet someone could come in and say, I'd like to talk about a new library location or something like that. So they would have been allowed time. But if we have a full agenda with people on a controversial issue, then we'll back off the general information to the next meeting. So we're just kind of controlling the
overall. I'm just looking at what the actual bylaws say. We could reword that to indicate that the maximum of four refers to speakers on agenda items.
Well, that was changed to six.
Yeah, right. We got six. We don't want more than six at any meeting. We've got other business to take care of.
Well, that's kind of arbitrary. I mean, I don't have any ideas in mind of what people might want to talk about, but I think the public ought to have a sense that we're willing to listen to them. I mean, we've got an approval process in there that says if you want to speak to the board, you got to contact the library director a week in advance, which is a long time, or Yeah, a week in advance for approval, which assuming that the library director has the authority to give them approval to speak.
Right.
But how does that fit in with the four speaker limit?
That doesn't fit in, because what if 12 people write in and want to speak? Then you've got 18 people speaking. So maybe we could add a clause saying such that there are to be no more than two outside of controversial issues, that if they want to come up and address something.
I think that a better approach would be to just allow, it sort of says that it's implied here that you contact the library director a week before the meeting, and it gives the library director the discretion whether to let that person be on the agenda or not. I mean, that's why they contact the library director, right?
That's just always been in your bylaws.
Has this ever been an issue?
Have people been contacting you to ask?
Not to date.
Can you think of an example?
Yeah, that verb has just been there for.
Well, Dennis just cited examples. I mean, might wanna say, I think we need a new library in Clover. We need to allow those people an opportunity to.
Yeah, but they would have opportunity at this meeting because there's nobody speaking. So that's why you could, on where we have, this is again, we first look at the agenda. If there's a controversial agenda item where we know the public wants to speak, we gear it to that. When we have another meeting that it's no controversy, then we can pile in the other people who want to come and speak.
That's not in the bylaws. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. But basically, I think we ought to have rules that people can speak or not speak. I think that the discretion of whether someone should be allowed to speak board ought to be given to the chairman working with the director to between the two of them decide this person has something significant to say, let's give them a spot on the agenda. And if there are too many people, they can say that. We can't do it this next meeting.
Well, basically that's what it says, for them to get approval. And if it's approved by the director and the chairman, then they will have 2 minutes time limit.
Well, that's what it says. It may be implied, but it's not stated.
Okay. Well, if it's passed as is, I think it's pretty good. If we see in the future that it's causing some kind of problem,
would you permit me to readdress this the next meeting and maybe come up with a wording that might address some of the things I'm talking about?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. That's all I need. And I do have a question. Why did we decide that there will be no public comment at this meeting?
That is our discretion to do that, and we have a lot on the agenda. And we can do that, at other times if we like.
You say our, it was who decided it?
I work with the director to put the agenda together.
Okay.
That's the chairman's responsibility.
Okay, all right.
All right.
May I ask another question?
Sure.
For the current bylaw, the third paragraph says that persons wishing to address the board regarding items pertaining to the library not yet on the proposed agenda should contact the library director or board chair. That's what it currently says.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
And then the proposed just has, will contact the library director.
Correct. But the library director and the chairman work together to put the agenda together. So basically, if someone goes to Julie first, then she and I will work together to put the agenda together and decide if this extra speaker is going to be on the agenda.
That makes sense, because the library director is much easier to contact.
Right.
You know,
okay.
You can always get to her or get to the message. Somebody at the library will get back with you.
Okay. Well, that clarifies that. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Okay. Well, let's move on to computer and internet policy discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
We've already had Julie's introduction to the need for us to review this policy and to approve it. And in your packet of information is a reworked computer internet use policy, which has been approved by the policy committee. And the changes are indicated on this piece of paper here. You can see that the additions are in red, and where we struck a few words, that is in blue and struck. So I move that we accept the computer and internet use policy as indicated at this meeting.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Do we have any discussion?
Yeah, I don't understand why we're striking the endorses the American Library Association Bill of Rights.
Okay.
Well, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Let's visit that. Since you're new here, we had a motion that took place in October that read this way. In light of the State Library Director Lisa Aiken breaking ties with the American Library Association per email dated August 21st, 2023, I move that the York County Public Library System hereby disassociates itself from the American Library Association. That was passed. And it would be good, Julie, if you could send that out, because the new members don't even have that.
Sure.
That email that came from the state director, that would be very helpful.
If we check with the state director, is that something they recommend? I mean, isn't the ALA sort of the recognized authority on library procedures? And I mean, severing ties with them doesn't make any sense.
They are, but I think her letter will help you understand why she made that break.
Yeah, the letter is very clear as to why the state library disassociated from the ALA. Very clear. And once Julie gets that out, I think it will clear up any concerns with that.
And what would it take for the ALA to reestablish itself in our good graces? I mean, are we not cutting off our nose to spite our face with denying access to our staff for their expertise?
No, we're not. ALA has gone off the rails.
What's going to replace that? All the training that they get.
There's other associations.
Are they up to the standards? Are they as good?
You know, we as a committee are going to continue to pursue that, but the ALA has gone off the rails, and the state library has acknowledged that and disassociated. Therefore, we are following the direction of the state library.
But Terry, to be more direct, right now what the American Library Association says about the Bill of Rights has nothing to do with this policy. And that just puts a big hook onto it, because then we're responsible for saying we endorse the Bill of Rights, and that's a whole other discussion for a whole other day. It doesn't really belong in your computer and internet policy. So if you'll notice, it was just struck. The germane part of the paragraph, the sentence, is still there. The idea was that we don't restrict access to any information, and because of the origin, background, or views of the author. That is the germane part of it. Adding on that we endorse the Library Association Bill of Rights, which has 15 other things to it, probably, has no meaning and no purpose in this policy. And no bearing on this policy.
How about that?
Okay, so we have a motion, we have a second, we have discussed it. Do we need to do any more discussing?
Carol?
Dennis made the motion, Terry seconded it.
Right.
Okay. So before we vote on it, I'm just going to modify this a little bit. But there again, the first paragraph, the only thing that changed is the word "and" was struck, and Wi-Fi, the words "and all other required laws" was added.
I'm sorry, I didn't have my copy out in front of me. Repeat what you're saying.
First paragraph, the word "and" was struck out and added to that sentence. It says Wi-Fi and all other required laws, period.
Wi-Fi was already part of it.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, and then the second paragraph will read, in the second paragraph, endorses the American Library Association's Library Bill of Rights, was struck, and the words "those contributing to their creation" was struck. So now that paragraph reads, "The library does not restrict access to any information because of the origin, background, or views of the author." All right, all in favor, raise your hand. All opposed? Looks good.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I wanted to talk about something under new business that I forgot.
Excuse me, we have an appointment with the auditor. Can we pull up the agenda? Yeah, I have to pull her up. May I pull her up? Can we continue with the agenda?
Yeah, let's go.
Do you need me to?
If she needs to jump in here now, we'll do that.
Well, that's the agenda.
She's in the waiting room.
Yeah.
As a way of introduction here, you have the audit in front of you here in this packet here, which you were sent in advance to take a look at. And I'm sure she's going to tell us everything is great, which was on the audit.
I can hear you.
Okay, great. Melissa, hi. Good to see you again. Can you see? This is the board.
Hi, Melissa.
This is Tim Steele.
Hey, everyone.
This is Tim Steele who's waiting. He is our new chairman. And Dennis Getter, our treasurer. And then our new members, we have Laura, and then Susan Heine, and Nancy, and Carol, and Terry Plum. I don't know if you could hear me or not, but they're all here ready for your report. Thank you.
Awesome. Nice to meet you guys. So this will be short and sweet, and then we can go over any questions we all have. I'm Melissa Monahan, the senior manager on the engagement. This is, I think, the third year, maybe fourth. So we've been doing it a while, and this audit, it went smooth and great, just like all the previous years. We're sad to see Lee go, but I think that you all have it under control, and next year will be just as great. So I have a quick little presentation to just talk through what we need to go over. If I share my screen, will you see anything, or should I just talk through it?
I think you'll be able to see it. You can try it, and if not,
try showing it to us.
Yeah, it's not too important, like, if you see anything. But let's see. Okay.
There we go. Great.
First, just the objective and the opinion. You know, our objective for the audit is to issue an opinion, and we issued an unmodified opinion for your financial statements for the year ended June 30th. That's the highest level of assurance, and an unmodified opinion is the best case scenario, the best opinion you could receive. So the next two slides are just some required communications that we talk through. So I'm going to explain the audit planning process. Similar to each year, we chat with you, we chat with Lee, we get an understanding of what's gone on throughout the year. We read the board minutes and all of that, and kind of get a game plan of what we need to focus on
any changes from previous years and kind of plan for the audit. Part of that includes internal control review. So we don't test internal controls and we don't opine on the internal controls, but we do review your level of controls. Who does what, segregation of duties, how do you approve and review things, all of that. And that kind of just helps us plan for what we're gonna look at, any risks identified, et cetera. So that's a standard part of planning an audit. Materiality is an important part. We certainly don't test or look at every transaction, everything that went on. We set a materiality threshold and kind of test things that exceed that or are material. And then our responsibility, of course, we have to be independent and, you know, follow GAAP and government standards when we're doing the audit. Something else that we consider is significant accounting policies. So note one of your financial statements, probably the most lengthy note, details all of your accounting policies, how you record things, new accounting standards you follow. So we just review that, make sure that you're applying any new accounting policies, that all of your policies are in accordance with GAAP and make sense, which we think they do. In that line, management judgments and estimates. So if you have any significant estimates, things that you determine, we just evaluate that, make sure it's reasonable and makes sense and in accordance with GAAP. Financial statement disclosures. You know, we do prepare the financial statements. Of course, you all take responsibility for them, but we ensure that you're not missing any disclosures. All of your disclosures are accurate and reasonable. As far as uncorrected misstatements or corrected misstatements, we didn't have either. So there were no issues or errors that we fixed and posted an entry for, and there was no errors that we thought could go uncorrected because they were immaterial. So we didn't find any errors or anything that needed an adjustment. Management representations, I just mentioned that, you know, of course, at the end of the audit, y'all sign the rep letter and attest that, you know, these are your financial statements, you understand everything that's in them and, you know, what you're providing. We happily didn't have any disagreements with management. We love working with y'all and really enjoy it. There were no significant issues that we discussed. This year's audit was similar to last year. There was nothing unusual or new this year that we needed to worry about. So those were kind of like the key points that we needed to go over, required communications with you. The next slide or two are just brief blurbs from the financial statements themselves. I know this information is pretty old at this point, but just quickly to go over it, in 2024, your general fund balance was approximately $4.5 million. That was an increase of approximately $440,000 from prior year. So increasing your fund balance, adding to that is always a good sign. Approximately $2 million of your fund balance is unassigned and available for spending. So majority of it is, which is great. You can use it for anything. It's not restricted. It's not committed for anything. And that was about 47% of your actual expenditures. And then next, revenues of approximately $9.4 million exceeded expenditures of $8.9 million. And it was mainly you received more funding from York County. And then the kind of the back of the audit report and the last part of the audit is your compliance reporting. So you have to, you know, report under government auditing standards. If there was any specific government compliance rules that you had to follow, this is just the generic opinion that is required. You don't have any specific compliance, like for instance, York County has federal funding and they have a single audit, and that's like a whole another section of the audit. So this is just, I guess, a blanket statement that there's no compliance findings, there was no other unusual things, there was no issues with any compliance with laws and regulations that you would need to comply with. So that really sums it up. An unmodified opinion, as I mentioned, I think, you know, your sound financial condition, you're adding to your fund balance, you had a pretty strong year, and it was a great audit. So other than that, I didn't have anything to share. I don't know if there was any questions or anything specifically from the audit report, or just generally anything going on that you wanted to go over or talk about.
Does anyone have any questions? Anybody?
I'll just acknowledge that unfortunately the person who's responsible for this isn't here, Lee, and now we're replaced by Pam, so she's understands now the shoes she's got to fill, and we have very, very exemplary accounting, and obviously we plan to keep it that way, Mr. Chair.
Excellent.
And if I may, Mr. Chair, I also want to thank Buffy Coran, who filled in. There was a lot of last-minute thing requests, and she stepped in while Lee had moved on to take care of that. I just want to acknowledge that.
Thank you, Buffy.
Well, thanks, Buffy.
Hear, hear.
Okay, I think we're good. Thank you for the presentation.
Thank you.
Yeah, great.
Take it
thank
easy.
Thank you. Hope you all have a good night.
Until
thank
next
you.
Year.
Thank you.
Chair, Mr. Chairman, if I may put in an agenda plug under new business, which we went through. The Friends of the Library will have their annual meeting on Sunday, January 26th at 2 p.m. at the Rock Hill Library. The keynote speaker is the author of this book. Her name is Susan Millar Williams. It's a really, really good biography of a woman named Julia Peterkin. Julia Peterkin was awarded the only Pulitzer Prize by a South Carolinian in fiction ever. And this book was considered her book, which the first book, one of her books is called Scarlet Sister Mary, which actually won the award. She was recognized because she was the first author, white or black, who wrote about Southern blacks as real people. She was championed by the Harlem Renaissance. She's considered a major influence of Zora Neale Hurston, who was one of the prominent African-American novelists. And Susan has written another book, working on a third, about the Charleston earthquake. So it promises to be a really good presentation, 2 p.m., Sunday, January 26th.
You say that month, is it?
January.
January. Oh, this
yes,
month.
Yes, coming up. And Susan, what's the... where do they go to sign up?
Actually, you can go through the library's calendar.
Okay.
The library has a calendar entry, and you can sign up there. You don't have to sign up, but you just want.
What day is that?
It's a Sunday,
it's
2 p.m.
Sunday.
It's free, open to the public. There will be refreshments. They just like to know ahead of time how many chairs to put out. But
you did say
promise to be a good day.
You did say Rock Hill.
Yeah, Rock Hill. There will be a business meeting, but it will be very brief. Thank you.
Okay. Any other new items under new business?
Chairman Steele, I do have something that I would like to propose. So I have this in writing. Let me pass this around, and then I will present this as a motion. To you, word for word, but essentially Robert's rules ask that the minutes of a meeting report what was done, not what was said. And in our October 10th, I need to back up. I would like to make a motion.
Okay.
contain the record of what was said when you go to the unfinished business and new business. So I'm not asking that those be stricken, but what I would like to do is to rewrite that in a narrative format to conclude as an addendum to the minutes for that. The purpose of meetings, again, is to record actions taken, to be informative, easy to understand, and I think to have that in a narrative format, and in addition to, again, the sort of transcript of what happened, would make it more consistent with Robert's rules, as well as the other minutes that we have for the York County Public Library board. And that, again, the current secretary would be responsible for rewriting. It would be presented to the board for approval before it would be entered as part of the official record.
Okay. All right, so you're wanting this as a motion, correct? Okay, so if you would read that as a motion, and if we get a second, then we will discuss it and then vote on it, I think is the correct way to go about it.
I would like to present my motion to rewrite just the sections for the October 10th, 24 minutes, under unfinished business and new business, to be in narrative format at the beginning part of the minutes and the other minutes that we have for the library board.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, I have a couple points. I totally agree with what you're trying to do. I don't think we can amend our minutes going backward. I think this would be better submitted as just part of this meeting. I don't think there's any reason to go back and amend minutes. It would be in the minutes going forward. The other thing is, while I agree that the important part of the minutes is to record actions taken, I don't believe that it is so restrictive you can't use a narrative format. I have been on several boards and it's never been a problem that, you know, you can paraphrase what was said. The whole idea is to give information, not to get into, you know, all the back and forth. You don't need to do that, but the secretary has the discretion of telling the story. And that's what it's really all about. As long as you've got the essential information in there, it's fine. It's okay to elaborate a little bit. What I'm saying is, the way I see this is unnecessary, but I do approve what you're trying to do, and it makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Well, let me read it in its entirety. So, therefore, we are following Robert's rules. Motion to amend October 10, 2024 minutes. Whereas Robert's Rules, Section 48, 1 through 16, states that the minutes of a meeting should contain a record of what was done at the meeting, not what was said by the members, the format for October 10th, 2024 minutes, sections unfinished business and new business, is not consistent even with the previous minutes for the York County Library Board, and whereas minutes are not transcripts of meetings but record actions taken by the body organized within the agenda, and whereas minutes need to inform and be easy to understand in the future, I propose a motion to compose the unfinished business and new business sections of the October 10, 2024 minutes in narrative format as an addendum to our official record. The current secretary will be responsible for this and will present it to the board for approval as part of the official record submitted by Carol Herring, January 16th,
2024. Five. 25. One of us is living in the past.
There we go. All right. All in favor, raise your hand. All opposed? All right. So it's 6-1. That passes. Is there any more new business? Everybody happy? Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I second it.
I have to to have a motion first.
So moved.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion and a second. All right, thank you all. Appreciate all your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.